If you eat, sleep, and breathe golf...
Sounds like my kind of guy.
Love to explore...
All right, here's what you do. You're going to call your PR guy on the phone and tell him I'm here to see him.
And most importantly, just want to have some fun?
Looks like we got ourselves an orgy here.
Welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren.
Don't you think this is starting to get just a little big for the two of us to handle?
Here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence.
I don't know how much you know about journalism, but the first rule of thumb is don't ever ask a question that you don't want an answer to.
And the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
It's not his fault. He's just trying not to lose his job.
Hello and welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways. Glad you found us wherever you consume your podcasting content, on Apple, Audioboom, or as always on the Golf Trip Experts website at golftripx.com. I'm Mitch Lawrence in Myrtle Beach. Darren Bunch holding down Bakersfield, California, although I don't know how much that really goes for anything, but he is. And of course, Chris McEwen, our great audiologist producer. That's your new title. That's your new title, Chris. In Chicago and giving us his time and talents, I might add, on a beautiful day when, as he most emphatically let us know, he could amazingly be on the golf course in December in Chicago. Although I don't feel bad for you, Chris, as you've just gotten back from what I'm sure was a pretty spectacular vacation in the Dominican Republic. But thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
We're all glad to be with you as we close in on the holidays and the end of 2021. You can find me at Mitch Lawrence on Twitter and Instagram, Darren at Golf Getaways on Twitter and Instagram, Chris at Chris McEwen on Twitter, Golf Origin Stories, Driving Range Heroes with his sidekick Bill Bush at Range Heroes on Twitter. We're all over the place,
basically. Hey, let me ask a question about that. Is Bill the sidekick or is Chris the sidekick?
Oh, I always think of, well, they're sidekicks.
Depends on who you ask. Probably.
They're sidekicks, I guess.
All right, fair enough.
See, here's how I look at it, Darren. You and Chris are my sidekicks because I start the show. So if you want that to change, you know, be my guest. But it's kind of how I look at you guys.
I've been your sidekick for way too long.
Yeah, well, that's going to continue. I'm sorry to tell you. Obviously, we're all glad to be with you. Darren, tell us a little bit. We got some excited. We're closing in on, as I said, the end of 2021, coming up on 2022. And boy, if ever there's going to be a jumpstart to 2022, it's going to be Talking Golf Getaways, Golf News Net, iHeartRadio. It's a pretty exciting time.
It's definitely getting closer. Ryan Ballingy, our esteemed partner, has created a partnership with iHeartRadio. We're going to have a 24/7 all golf, all the time channel. It will have all kinds of stuff on it. We'll be on it quite a bit, probably more than most people want to hear us.
Hey, Chris will
be on it. Chris will be on it with both of his shows. And who knows what other great stuff. Ryan is putting together an all-star cast. And I think we'll just be talking a lot of golf in all different facets. We're going to be talking about travel. We're going to be talking about the tour. We're going to be talking about equipment. We're going to be talking about anything that you want to talk about when it comes to golf. We'll be on the Golf News Net Radio, iHeartRadio channel. And, you know, keep watching for the news on that of when it officially goes live in 2022.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I think all of us are excited. Before we get to our wonderful guest, Jim Hartzell, who I know both you and I are really excited to talk to. We connect with him on so many levels that it's not funny, although I'm sure there's going to be some humor there. But I want to recap quickly what an amazing few days you, Ryan Hyman, Lee Abamante, and I had at Rams Hill a couple weeks ago.
Well, nothing notable happened, Mitch, that I can remember.
Nothing notable happened other than two unbelievable days at a place. And I can't stress this enough. We all hear about golf courses. We see pictures. You've been involved with Rams Hill for a few years now. And as the marketing guy, we get bombarded with stuff that you're responsible for in a good way. We've all done that with golf courses and we go, man, that looks nice. This is great. I hope I get there. But for those of you who haven't been to Rams Hill, for those of you who've been there, you already know this, but for those of you who haven't been to Rams Hill, the only thing I can say is I traveled 6,000 plus miles for 2 days of being at Rams Hill, and I would do it again in a heartbeat. It is one of the most amazing golf experiences I think I've had for a number of reasons. You've heard us talk about it, but it really is a spectacular place.
It was great to have you guys out there. Ryan Hyman, as you mentioned, from Independent Golf Reviews or at iGolf Reviews. Lee Abamonte, who's been on the show before and of course, is a world traveler and plays golf all over the place. Has played the top 100. We had a lot of fun. And that's really what Rams Hill is all about. It came out of overseed this year in much better fashion than it had last year. And so people are just loving it there right now. You got to sample the apple caramel cookie that so many people talk about.
It figures that with all going on there, you would talk about the cookies.
The cookies are everything, and the Ramshack tacos and all that good stuff. And obviously the highlight of this was a specific shot that you hit on our last afternoon because you wanted to play three holes at sunset just before you left. And I guess you should tell the story. We were on the fifth at Rams Hill and something crazy happened.
Oh, no, I don't want to talk about it.
You literally only texted me every day since we got back and said, hey, remember what happened on the fifth at Rams Hill?
That is so not true. That is so not true. Jim's listening to this as we go, and he's going, who are these guys I'm talking to? Jim, you can listen to this. Will, you might get a kick out of this. You are, as we'll talk about, you're a big fan of Scotland. You have played Hickory Golf. You know about Hickory Golf. Last 2 weeks ago, Darren and I went out to play some sunset holes. I had shipped my Hickories back to Myrtle Beach. So I was going to play out of Darren's bag. We get to the fifth hole, par 3, 150-ish yards uphill, back pin on a two-tiered green. And Darren hits a great shot to the middle of the green. And then I said, I don't know what to hit. They're your clubs. So he handed me, he said, you can hit the jigger, which I just hit, which looks like literally a butter knife. And then he said, or you can hit this, mid-iron. And I said, give me the mid iron, which looks
like more of a butter knife,
which looks not only like a butter knife, but just a piece of metal that somebody stuck on the end of a wooden stick with about 3 inches of electric tape wrapped around the hosel. So I said, just give me the club. He started walking up to the green to take pictures. I hit the shot, really good, solid shot somehow. And as I was watching it, it bounced off the mounding kind of on the right side of the green, started rolling, and I'm doing what we all do, which is, man, this is going to be great. I think it's in the hole. And Darren starts laughing, walks up to the green, videoing the whole thing. I drove the cart up to the edge of the green, up on a hill, walked down, took about 3 steps, and literally my entire body, every cell in my body, when I just saw Darren's ball on the green, went, okay, mine's in the hole. And Darren, of course, didn't believe it. I walked down. He's walking up laughing. I'm on my hands and knees. The ball is in the hole. And it was the most perfect confluence of seemingly random golf stuff that I think I've ever been a part of. None of it made sense.
I want people to understand that this, you didn't hit a lucky shot.
No.
That's the key. The hole is set up to play a draw down the right side into the green and then take that slope to that back pin where it was. And you hit an absolutely perfect draw with that butter knife of a hickory mid iron, that you had never swung before. It's not correct. Like you're playing that club every day, like it's out of your bag. It was the first time and probably the only time you will ever hit a shot with that club and you hit it in the hole, which just goes to prove that golf is just incredibly easy.
Yes. Well, that's how I always look at it. When people say to me, why do you play hickories? I go, because otherwise it's too easy.
That's right.
And that's the truth. But anyway, it was an absolutely perfect end to a fantastic trip. So shout out to everybody at Rams Hill for giving us a great experience. It was really,
and we can't thank the guys enough either for coming out and joining us. You know, go check out Ryan and Lee's Instagrams and Twitters and do all the things to support those guys too. We love having guys come out to Rams Hill, but more importantly, you and I just like having people come play golf with us, you know.
Yes, true.
And that's as we lead into talking to Jim here, you know, that's one of my regrets over the past couple of years is every time I've come by Sweetens Cove or come to Alabama or whatever, the timing hasn't quite been right. You know, we did our big event at Sweetens Cove a couple summers ago. Jim got an unbelievable offer to go travel someplace else while we were doing it. You know, we weren't able to hook up then. So one of these days, we're all going to play golf with Jim Hartzell as well.
Yeah, I think that's true. I don't think there's a question about that. If Jim still wants to play after he's listening to us. But I think he will. Okay, it is Jim Hartzell time, a general architect by trade. And we could spend a couple hours talking about what he does as an architect in the sporting world, but we'll have to save that for another time. It's Jim's life in golf that's made us long for a chance to spend some time with him for a number of reasons. One, he's one of the best people in the game. And I could elaborate, but I won't. You just have to trust me. Two, he's been a decades-long lover of Scottish golf and travel, particularly of the far-flung courses, towns, and people that might not be on most people's radar, which Darren and I obviously are drawn to. And he's given us a wonderful Scottish golf calendar for 2022, showcasing some of those courses in the service of a truly great cause. We will talk about that. Three, he's also one of the first discoverers of a place Darren and I and thousands of others by now love, and that's Sweetens Cove in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee. He has gifted us all one of the most well-researched, beautifully written books you will ever read. The Secret Home of Golf, The Authorized History of King Collins Golf, and The Creation of Sweetens Cove. And though it was released in September of 2021, Secret Home of Golf captured Jim's heart. Sweetens Cove captured his heart and mind from the first time he saw it. His burgeoning friendships with architect Rob Collins and those who helped bring Sweetens to life through an amazing, really amazing, dramatic journey led to a book that will, I guarantee you, move you, inform you, inspire you. And if you haven't made the journey yet, make you long for your first visit to the Secret Home of Golf. You can find it at back9press.com. That's back9press.com. And if you hurry, you can order copies for you and your friends in time for the holidays. But if you don't make it in time for the holidays, trust me, any time of year is a good time to get the book. Luckily for us all, you can also read Jim's wonderful words in a variety of places that recognize the great wordsmiths of our game. He's a contributor to, among others, two of the most glorious magazines we have, Link's Diary and The Golfer's Journal, as well as having a continuing presence, and this is absolutely great, on nolayingup.com, currently sharing stories about some of his favorite lesser-known Scottish courses. I have been reading them, and they will make you want to drop whatever you're doing, get on a plane, and get to Scotland. I can't recommend reading it all highly enough. You can find Jim, who's based in Hartsell, Alabama, at Jim H. Hartsell, H-A-R-T-S-E-L-L, on Twitter, at Jim Hartsell on Instagram, or on his website at jhartsellgolf.com. Jim, it's a true pleasure to finally have you spend some time with us. Welcome to Talking Golf Getaway.
Mitch, thank you. I'm not going to be able to live up to that introduction, but I do appreciate it very much. You guys are very kind to have me on.
Well, before you try to, did I hear that correctly? That your name is Jim Hartzell, but you live in Hartzell, Alabama?
Yes, that is correct. It's it is a family connection that goes back to the late 1860s.
The
town is spelled slightly differently. There's an E on the end of Hartzell, but it's the same family. So it's been kind of interesting to live here and you know, kind of be part of that history.
Well, that explains your love of history. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Speaking of history, we're going to start I mean, we're going to talk a lot about Scotland, I'm assuming here. But we're going to talk about a place that you and I both love, and we might as well just kick it off. Dunaverty and Machrihanish. Tell me what you love about the Kintyre Peninsula and why it just jumped into your heart.
Oh, man. I'm glad you started here. The Argyll, the Kintyre Peninsula, is just, you know, one of the most beautiful places on the planet to begin with. And I mean, just as you're coming down the A83 and just every place you turn, your mind is blown by what you're looking at. But I don't know. The first trip I took to Scotland in 94, my dad, it was because of my dad. And he wanted to go, and he said, look, the only place I want to play is the Old Course. And he said, we can go anywhere else you want to go. You plan the whole thing. Let's just play the Old Course. I said, okay. So I had just read To the Lynx Land by Michael Bamberger, which I have promoted a lot over the years. And at any rate, if you guys have read that book or familiar with it, he spends a lot of time in Machrihanish. And I'd never heard of it before then. So I got it in my head that we were going to spend a week in Machrihanish. And we did. We went down there and we played the Old Course. We played Carnoustie, and I think we played North Berwick. And then we drove across the country and drove down that long and winding road that, you know, that Paul McCartney wrote about, down to Machrihanish. And I just was blown away. I mean, there was nobody there. Most Americans had never even heard of it. And we just played golf all day. And I'll tell this story quickly so we can work Dunaverty in. But I had played Machrihanish like 3 days in a row. And I have to admit, I had never even heard of Dunaverty. And I was standing outside my bed and breakfast, which was right across the 18th fairway. If you guys have been there, so you know there's kind of a row of houses across the road from the 18th. And the guy that owned the house, he said, well, Jim, what are you going to do this afternoon? And I said, well, I'm just going to go back out and play Machrihanish again. I'm just going to play until dark. Because y'all know it doesn't get dark until 10:30 or 11 in the summer. You can just keep playing golf until you fall over. And so he said, no, he said, why don't you need to go over to Dunaverty. He said, it's about 15 minutes from here. I'll tell you how to get there. And this was before, y'all remember what it was like before Google Maps and stuff. I mean, it was not as easy to get around places, but he wrote it down and he said, look, go over there.
Well, even with GPS, like my GPS stopped working on my way to Dunaverty and my way back. It took me like an hour and a half to get back into town when I left there the day I did. So, I mean, even if you do that trip today, relying on your phone is not the way to go.
No, you need to, and this is a brief aside, but yeah, you need to study wherever you're going before you go, because you can hit spots where it goes out on you and you don't have the GPS. So, anyway, he said, look, it's £5. It's an honesty box. Go play it. You won't be sorry. So I told my dad, I said, look, we ate lunch. I said, let's go over to this place. Mr. Baxter said we need to. So we went over there and there was nobody there. The clubhouse was locked and they actually had an honesty box on the first tee back then. And we put in £5 and we played and we were just literally blown away by it. There were cows on the golf course, a few sheep. You know, you guys have been there, you know, the holes that are on the, I guess it's the, let me get my bearings, the west side of the river are all on the farmer's property and he has grazing rights. And it's just a stunning place. And we played it in about 2.5 hours. And my dad said, well, let's go play again. And he said, do you think we need to put in 5 more pounds? I said, yeah, we probably should. So we put another 5 pounds in, played it again. And I just became, whenever I, at the subsequent trips where I've gone, I actually joined Machrihanish back then. But I just was fascinated by Denarvity. So I'd always go to Denarvity when we went. It's just beautiful. I mean, it's just, I have a hard time thinking of a more beautiful golf course, quite frankly.
It's such a bizarre place in some ways, in that, you know, you have the caravan park there on one corner of it. But the architecture, you know, not just the beauty, which is just expansive as you go down, but the architecture of the holes, being a short golf course, which we talk a lot about on the podcast here, and having all these drivable holes and these creative short holes, is just one of those things that it's hard to find another golf course in the world that is as much fun as you have out there, at the same time of just soaking in everything that encapsulates what I think somebody dreams about when they dream about Scottish golf.
I would totally agree with you. I mean, the green sites are just like you imagine, and I've written a lot about this place and in Link's Diary and some other places, but the green sites, you imagine the members actually designed this place originally. And you imagine they just walked out there and said, okay, a green goes here, a green goes here. And because, I mean, you're right. You sort of start off and you think, okay, number one, not much to it. Number two, you're kind of going toward the caravan park. But then all of a sudden you get on that number three tee and you're just blown away. And then you have these greens like number four, which I know I run into the ground on Twitter. But, I mean, that hole is like the essence of Scottish golf as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it's just – it's so much fun. It just makes you laugh. I actually, we stayed out there on this last trip. My friend of mine, Robbie Wilson, and I, and the house we stayed in was about, I mean, it was literally like a 20-second walk from the fourth green. I'd go out there in the morning and just watch people play the fourth hole and watch how the ball reacted when it comes over that dune. It's just a perfect golf hole. I can't imagine. I mean, there's a lot of great holes, but that one just is so good.
Now, we should point out that Mitch has not been there. Mitch and Chris have yet to make it to the peninsula. And it's one of my great hopes in life is to go play these golf courses specifically. We play a lot of golf in Scotland, but go play these golf courses specifically with Mitch, because I think we would just have an outstanding time. And of course, as we said earlier, he probably would make a hole in one.
Well, you know,
I think that's a given now.
A lot of that's what's great about a lot of those greens there is that there's two or three punch bowl type greens where if you hit the right spot, the ball kind of funnels to the hole, and it's just so much fun to watch and watch the ball. You know what it's like watching the ball on the ground over there. It's half the fun, you know, after you've hit a shot. So you definitely need to get down there. And you know, Macrahanish Dunes is there, and somebody is building another course next to Macrahanish Dunes. I think it's the same company that owns Macrahanish Dunes. So there's going to be another course down there, and then there's also a little course called Carradale that is not far from there that I love. I think it's Campbelltown and Macrahanish. Denarvity is a great spot for a week long trip, and you've got all the golf you want, really.
Let's. I know you and Darren could talk to Denarvity for about 6 hours, but we don't have that much time. But I do want to. I want to have you mention a couple of the other, because this is one of the things that I love about the way you approach the game, and you, the way you started. And your love of Scotland at a younger age than almost anybody I can think of that I've ever talked to, because of your dad watching the Open Championship, because of Michael Bamberger and to the Lynxland as you got older. But it's led you to a fascination with places like Denarvity. I read what's become one of my favorite articles, which you did for the No Laying Up website. I mentioned before that you're doing a series, and this one's called Hidden Scotland, The Fringes of Scottish Golf. And I think it's, if anybody who hasn't been there yet wants to get a hit on what makes it special, you have to read this article because, Jim, just share with us a couple of the other places. I was fascinated because I have yet to play it with Anstruther, the way you found it and kind of what it led you to instead of a day at the old course.
Yes. And thank you for mentioning that. I've been writing that series for those guys, and they've been great to me, Tron and Randy, mm-hmm. and it's going on. I've got another two installments coming out in the next week or so. But so in 2019, before COVID, I went over to Scotland and took my middle son Jake, and we had planned this thing out. Jake is kind of like me; he is fascinated by this stuff, and so we had planned this trip for months, and y'all know it's half the fun of these trips is the planning of it. And so we had it all worked out. We were gonna play the old course and first, and we were gonna, or maybe it was the second course. But anyway, we were gonna just get in the queue at the old course, get up at midnight and go do the whole thing, get in line. And I've done that like three times, and I've never failed to get on. So I wasn't worried about it. So we had the day to do that, and then we were going to play Ely and a couple other places around there. Then we were going to go up north to Cruden Bay and then go over to Macrahanish. But anyway, so a couple of days before we left, I was just checking some stuff, and I got on the St. Andrews website, and it said that the old course was closed for the entire week that we were going to be in that area because the RNA was having a tournament. And I thought, oh, I've ruined Jake's trip because he'd never been and he wanted to play the old course. And, you know, so I called him up and I said, Jake, I'm sorry. We can't play that day. I said, we'll try to go to Carnoustie or something. And he said, well, Dad, he said, I've been looking at this place called Anstruther. He said, why don't we just go there? And he said, it's a 9-hole course right on the water. He said, and we already had our rooms booked in the St. Andrews area. So we were going to be there. And obviously, and I said, all right, well, so I just on the plane over there, I emailed the Anstruther. The general manager's email was on the website, I believe. And I said, look, you mind if we come down and play this day? And he emailed me right back. He said, yeah, sure, come on. And so we got up early, went over there, and there was nobody there. And the clubhouse was locked, and I ran into a member that was going out. And he said, look, just put your money in the box there and go play. And I think it was £10. And he said, the bar will be open later. And they come in about 10. So anyway, so we put our money in, we go out. We were the first ones out other than this one gentleman. And Jake just was blown away. And obviously it was one of his first experiences with Scottish golf, or his first. And it's just a perfect 9-hole golf course. The first hole, you sort of play up this massive hill to the green, and then you're up on top looking out over the ocean. And we played nine and went in, and by the time we got through, the bar was open, and so we walk into the lady at the bar, and I said, hey, we've already put in 10 for the nine we played, and I said, well, how much does it cost to play all day? And she looked at me like I was crazy. She said, all day. She said, what do you and she said, well, just give me 10 more pounds for both of you. And so I did it, and we went back out and played again, and we came in and ate lunch, and I walked up to her and I said, this place is just incredible. And Jake was beside himself. I mean, some of these par threes are just, they're all world. And this is an old Tom Morris design, by the way. And we told her how much we loved it, and she just immediately handed both of us a Anstruther ball marker, didn't charge us anything. We ate lunch and we went back out, and well, we were supposed to play another course that afternoon. And I said, Jake, are we going to go play? And it was London Links. And he said, Dad, I just want to stay here. He said, I don't want to go anywhere. And so I called London and I said, y'all, I'm sorry, we're not coming. They were nice. I said, No problem. And we played 45 holes. So we played, that was five times around. And it was getting it late. And Jake wanted to go again. And I'm old, y'all. I was like, Jake, I can't I can't do it. And he wanted to play another nine. And to this day, whenever I talk to him about it, he just says that Anstruther's his favorite place. And so I have told I don't know how many people since that trip, you know, a lot of people that are going to the Open next year, I'm like, look, guys, stay around Anstruther, and because it's like a 20-15 minute drive from St. Andrews, and play this place. You're not going to regret it. And so, yeah, it's
how long ago was that first visit?
Well, that this one was this was Jake's first time, which was that was in 2019, May of 2019. Now, wow, my first trip was in 1994. But I had never played Anstruther, and I consider myself, and I'd heard of it, and I consider myself somewhat of a expert now after all these trips. But and I try to search for places like this, but for some reason I'd never been there, and I just it's up in my top rankings now as a place to go play, and I love nine hole courses. I've got a soft spot for them. Obviously, Sweden's Cove is a nine-hole course, and I don't know. I just, you know, on this last trip, I probably played more nine-hole courses than I did 18. To be honest, I'm sure I did.
Go ahead, Darren.
I'm sorry. I was gonna say because what I wonder about these types of things is now in the age of the internet, where information gets out so quickly. And, you know, we're still finding hidden gems all the time, but they're less hidden, I guess, is the way to say it now. How do you feel like or do you feel like that is a detriment that, you know, the prices are rising and it's harder to get on places like this? Or do you think that's a great thing because more and more golfers are discovering these just fantastic quirky, fun golf courses that only a handful of people knew about, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago?
Well, it's a really good question. And I have to admit, I've thought about it and I've actually struggled with it. You know, I love Dunaverty so much. And I had this discussion with Robbie when I was over there. I'd ask him, I said, do you think that I'm doing this place a disservice by talking and writing about it so much? Because, you know, I worry about so many people coming here, but it's really because will that change it? But the thing about it is, he said, no, Jim, everybody's happy that, you know, you've written this stuff and they love it. And there's been more people come. But I think, guys, that places like that will never get overrun simply because, you know, the effort it takes to get there is not easy to get to. And there's still people this kind of golf is not for everybody. I mean, the people that are going to go once and play all the big places, which I totally understand. If you're going one time, you know, play Muirfield and the Old Course and Prestwick and Carnoustie and North Berwick and, you know, Dornoch, do all that. You got to. But I just think that the sheer fact that they're so out of the way will protect them somewhat, but it does for people like us. You know, I was talking to some of the members at Dunaverty, when I was there this last time, and, they were just talking about how much play they'd had, you know, in the last year or two. And I, you know, obviously the pandemic's affected it some, but when they've been able to be open, you know, after I did that Link's Diary story, they just said they had so many people coming and said they'd read the story, and I felt better. It had crossed my mind, like, am I hurting what's great about these places by talking about them so much? But
the members were okay with it, Jim, right?
They were. And so I felt better. I felt relieved, actually, because I, you know, I just thought I don't want to mess up something that, you know, but you guys also know that it costs so little to be a member at a lot of these places. You know, I'm a member at Dunaverty, and I have been for a while, but you know, it's not a lot of money. And obviously I can't get there a lot, but you know, the visitors fees help them keep their course open. So
sure.
I guess what I'm saying is after I'd talked to some people there, I thought, okay, they're not upset. They're actually happy about this. I mean, they had copies of the magazine in the clubhouse. And so I feel relieved, but your point is a good one because, you know, it really, I thought the same thing about Sweetens Cove. You know, by the time my book came out, you know, when I first started going to Sweetens Cove, there was nobody there. I mean, you could go out there
right.
and play golf all day and see five other people and, you know, play 36 holes in, you know, 5 hours. And, but, you know, by the time my books come out now, you guys know it's the tee times sell out, you know, in 30 or 45 minutes. And, but, you know, the golf, a golf course has to make money to survive. So, you know, it's kind of a catch 22. I mean,
I think that's the key.
Yeah.
You know, that, and you know, what my job now working on the operations side, in addition to the media side, you know, I see that more than ever that, and it's the courses that are doing it right are the ones who embrace that type of exposure, you know, like you're giving them. I want to ask you one other thing real quick. Mitch is going to ask you about Robbie and that friendship and how it's developed. But when we're talking about kind of these courses that are different, unique, you know, things that you might never see here in the States. You mentioned Ely a little while ago. It is one of the more interesting designs of anything I've ever played. I think about it all the time. The fact that there are no par fives, it's got something like 16 par fours and 2 par threes, I think, if I remember correctly.
That's exactly right.
A lot of drivable holes, and just in an incredible setting that takes you from the town out to the water, you know, just like the very definition of links golf. And, you know, tell me how you feel about it, because I've had people tell me it's the greatest experience they've ever had. And I've also had, admittedly, Americans tell me they think it's dumb because it's so many par fours. And I can't even fathom playing that golf course and coming to that conclusion when you're done with it, because to me it was so much fun and just so incredibly interesting.
Yeah, Ely is in my top rankings. It's beautiful. I love it. The you know, James Braid, who's my favorite golf course architect, grew up in Ely and learned how to play in Ely. And if you guys have played some of his courses, you can see how he's influenced by having played at Ely. I mean, there's a certain elegance to the holes at Ely, in my mind, the way they just kind of fit in the land. I love everything about Ely. You know, the first hole, that blind shot over the hill, you know, the third hole, the par three, you know, that's one of the two, I think, 3 and 11. The 11th is the other par three. You've got so many great holes, like the 10th, where you hit over the hill and it's just the ball just runs straight downhill to a punch bowl green. Everybody that asks me about going to that area, I tell them to play Ely. I just think the club is just a wonderful place. The people are friendly. You know, you got that little pub by the fourth tee. The day that Jake and I were out there, it was not crowded. And we just put our bags down and walked over and had a pint. It's literally right by the fourth tee. And had the pint, came back, played the rest of the day. Ely is just, it's brilliant. I've got it up there near the top.
But it's right. I don't hear people talk about the par three third enough. And it's so delicious and just kind of sets the tone for, you know, the view and everything of where you're headed. past the town and out to the water. And I was fascinated with every step of my day there. I also had classic Scottish weather because it was raining when I started, and then the sun came out as I got to the water. And, you know, it's another one of these places that, and we're going to say this a lot, and we always do, but I mean, some of the most beautiful places to play golf in the world, that you'll find anywhere. You can go to islands, you can go anywhere else you want, but the rocky coastline of Scotland is, rivals everything.
Well, I'm real big on sort of different views and how a place is revealed in certain ways. And that view from the second green looking down to the third hole at Ely is one of the greatest views in the world of golf, as far as I'm concerned. I've thought about this a lot when I've written. It's just the whole thing is just revealed to you, and you're just standing there like, this is. And you can see the North Berwick in the distance. I mean, it just, maybe you're looking back toward St. Andrews at that point, but, at any rate, it's stunning. And, I agree with you.
All right. Let's, we could talk about this stuff. I really recommend again, this article that Jim wrote called The Fringes of Scottish Golf on No Laying Up. I think it's one of the best explanations of everything Darren and he are talking about that I certainly understand about playing over there. I can't recommend that highly enough. Before we leave Scotland, there's a couple of things to talk about, and this is selfish on my part, and I don't care. We all know, those of us who travel, we travel with our friends. We love traveling with our friends. Part of the joy of traveling and playing golf is meeting people unexpectedly that we might not have thought about before, but who turn into some of the best friends we have in life. And you have one of those experiences as it relates to Scotland. I've been following your stuff for a while, as I said, on Instagram. But somebody who I came across, and it was probably through you, is the guy you mentioned, Robbie Wilson. He's on Instagram at LinksRobbie. And I immediately related to him. He's funny. He's got great golf posts. He's just kind of the kind of guy that I would love to spend some time with. Now, you have. You've gotten to spend time with him. Tell just me, because I'm the one here who really wants to know about this. I think other people find it fascinating. How did you get connected with him? And talk us through a little bit of the last trip that you, when you were with him in Scotland, that thread of posts was one of my favorite things that I've literally ever seen on Instagram.
Yeah. Thank you for asking about Robbie's become one of my best friends. And, you know, that's what's great about, that's the good side of Twitter and Instagram. I know there's a lot of negativity, and, you know, I appreciate, you know, your posts, which are overwhelmingly positive, but, you know, you can meet people. This 3 years ago when I was planning that trip, I had followed Robbie just randomly. And I recommend anybody following him because he works for, Historic Environment Scotland, and he is in charge of maintaining several ancient prehistoric sites on the West Coast, and he posts these pictures from when he's out working, and they're just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I'm an architect, so I was fascinated with that stuff. You know, these ruins of standing stones and stone circles and things. And they're just beautiful. So I remember I messaged him a couple of times and he answered me right back. I asked him something about a place where he was working. And then as I started planning that trip, he told me, well, look, if you need any, he had picked up that I was a big fan of Macrahanis and Dunaverty, and he's a member at Dunaverty, and he's from Lakilpid, which is just up the road, probably about 50 minutes from Macrahanish. And anyway, he said, look, if you need anything, let's play when you're over here. So we set it up on that trip. I met him and we played at Dunaverty, and Jake was with me then. And we just hit it off. We just had so much fun. And Robbie's about my age, and you know, Jake loved him, and we just had a blast, and we just immediately became friends, like you do sometimes. There's nothing to, you know, you play golf. I think you hit the nail on the head. One of the great joys of traveling are the people that you meet. And sometimes you meet somebody that just you connect with. And we just became friends, and through that trip, and we stayed in touch. And, you know, I was going to go back the next year, and then COVID hit, and I kept moving my trip. And I planned a lot of it to play with Robbie at Macrahanish and Denaverty. And so anyway, I had something pretty bad happen and early in the year, and I finally decided that, you know, I've got to get away. I've got to take off work for a long time. I've got to do something for my own sanity. And, I called Robbie and, I said, look, I'm going to take off work for a month, and, you know, can I come stay with you for a while on this trip? And he said, Jim, don't just stop. He said, you stay here as long as you want. You can stay at my house. You know, I'll take off work. We'll go. We'll have a good time. So I basically, I was lucky on one hand. The COVID restrictions got right at the last minute before I left. They got lifted. And so I had all this free time, and I stayed with Robbie for, I don't even know, 12, 14 days. And we went everywhere. We played Denaverty several times. We played in a open competition at Macrahanish. It was the best ball. We had so much fun. He's a great player. He plays off five, I think, and just hits the ball so perfectly with a little draw. And, you know, I'm not that good. I'm more of a 15, but we played, we had such a good time. We played well together. But it was just, we went, you know, when I first got there, you know, he was just so, he treated me, he was so good to me in a really difficult time. And, you know, we just decided that we were going to just do some stuff. And I got there when the first day, and I met him at his office, and I said, hey, you know, I've got this free time now, because I was going to quarantine at his house. I was going to have to quarantine for 8 days. And they all of a sudden, all I had to do was take, I had to pass one COVID test. And I was free. I was out, you know, free to go. So I had all this time. So I said, look, let's go out. I've always wanted to go to Isle of Colonsay. And he's like, yeah. He said, I went there about 30 years ago. He said, you'll love it. Let's go. And so I called. There was one hotel on the island. They had one room. We got it. We got the ferry booked. We went out there. It was like playing golf in the 1850s. And Robbie loves this stuff too. He truly loves the history of the game. You know, he loves playing at Denaverty or Isle of Colonsay or Carradale as much as he loves playing Loch Lomond or you know, Western Gales, or, you know. So he loves the same kind of stuff that I do, and he's just a nice man. And he just did a lot for me. I couldn't have done that trip without him. And he helped me. I mean, anytime I wanted to, he'd call and set stuff up for me, or if I needed it, he'd tell me where to go, or, you know, he sent me up to this place called Isle of Seal Golf Club. That was just incredible 9-hole course that I'd never even heard of. And I consider myself an expert. And it was just, he's just a friend, and we talk. I mean, I have to admit, we probably talk just about every day. I mean, on messaging. And, yeah, he's been a good friend during the last several months when, you know, I've had some things to deal with. And that's what golf can do. Yeah. I mean, you know, how many times have you met somebody on a golf course that you've joined up with where you haven't had a good time? I mean, it's very rare. You know, and I that's another thing I love about Scotland, is they're so open to joining up and playing together. And, you know, it's just the way it's supposed to be. And that's a long answer, but he's a good friend.
But you left out a very key part of this trip with Robbie. And you mentioned the Isle of Colonsay. It's in your, I mentioned your calendar before. It's September. in the calendar. There's a beautiful picture of, of Colin C. But you were about to take the ferry and you had to wait a little while. So you got to explore the island and you went over to Killeran Bay and you forgot the most important part of the trip, which is when Robbie saved your life.
Well,
according to him, in a most unusual way.
He is a character, and I'm writing my second book now, actually, which is going to be about this trip, and Robbie's going to be in it quite a bit. And I'll mention this. I've actually written a story for Golfer's Journal that will be coming out in May. It's sort of a preview of this book, and Robbie's in it, and a lot of what happened. But we went over. We had time to kill, and the ferry only runs once a day, I think. So we had half a day to kill, and we said, well, let's just drive around the island. And we went over around and found this beach, this sort of hidden beach, and came through the gate. And all of a sudden, this huge cow is coming around the corner right at me. And he's like, Jim, don't make any sudden movements. He said, get over here on the other side of this bench. I said, what are you talking about? He said, a cow will kill you dead. He said, you can't trust a cow. He said, they're mean. If you get between them and their calf, they will trample you to death. I've seen it happen. So
there was a calf on the other side.
There was a calf on the other side, and he was right. I didn't have any idea. And this thing was massive. Y'all seen those big, Highland cows they have over there, and he was dead serious. And now we've laughed about it ever since. But just the way that he went on this speech about how the black ones are meaner than the brown ones, and he said people get trampled all the time. Nobody knows. But then we laughed about it. But it's me coming from Alabama, and there's cows across the street from my house, but I never would have thought that they would attack you. And he was as serious as he could be. And we've laughed about it a lot, but about killer cows. And every once in a while he sent me YouTube videos of people getting attacked by these cows. And so I guess I believe him, but,
I have to tell you, because I got in touch with him. I was so fascinated by this relationship. And I said, if you have a story or two about Jim, this is the story. He said, of all the stuff, he wants you to know that, yes, he saved your life.
Well,
and
I'm going to.
And one day he saved your
life.
I've
got a good, I'll tell it better in the book, but it's the way that he, what made it, it was just funny because he went on to tell me about a time when he was coming back from Macrahanish and, he wanted to walk out to this beach and he climbed over this fence and he started walking and all of a sudden these cows started chasing him and he had to dive over into a cemetery fence to save his, I don't know. He's got a ton of stories like that. And,
I bet he does.
Yeah. So that's kind of that one, but we had so much fun. We ate fish and chips, watched golf at night. We just had a great time, and it just allowed me to take my mind off everything, and he treated me like a normal guy. And I just can't say enough about him. And I do tell people that if you like history, follow his Instagram and his Twitter, because he does post some great golf stuff from Macrahanish and Dunaverty, but some of these pictures he posts from these sites are just great.
Yeah, I found one the other day that I hadn't seen before that was on his stories. And I'll bet it was 50 video clips of him working on a wall.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable. I mean, I could not stop watching it. You know how normally you kind of click through quickly sometimes?
Yeah.
I couldn't take my eyes off it. And the end of this particular Robbie Wilson segment of Talking Golf Getaways is, you got to be friends with his dad. His dad really enjoyed having you there. He told me.
His dad.
These connections. Yeah.
His dad is great. His dad, I think, is 81 or 80. I think he's 81. And he came over one night and we talked and he was just such a nice man. And, I love meeting people and talking to people about their life and, And by the same token, they're sort of fascinated about Alabama and what's it like here. And, you know, his dad wanted to know what I like, what courses I liked. And, you know, that's the other thing, you know, every time you get through, I played a lot of golf by myself on this trip when Robbie wasn't with me. And without fail, you know, you get through, you go sit down and get a pint, and somebody asks you, well, what'd you think about the course, or how'd you get along, or and you wind up talking to somebody that you just met in the clubhouse, or the, you know, a lot of these courses, there's just a little cafe by the first tee that serves as a clubhouse. And you know, that I love that part of it, because people are generally interested in what you think about the course, what you think about their little area. And I love that. And I did, you know, Robbie's dad was great. And I just sent him a bottle of whiskey that I want him to share with his dad on Christmas. And, you know, but he's a nice man.
Yeah. And he wanted me to make sure that I tell you that he sent his best to you and your family, and that when you go back, there's always a room for you at his house. I think that's a mistake, because now Darren and Chris and I are going to be angling for a room at his house too. So it could get really crowded at Robbie's house at some point.
If you want to have fun, I mean, seriously, play Macrahanis with him or Denaverty, because he's played there his whole life. And I just, you know, I love, and I've played those places a lot, but I love the sort of back and forth of like, well, look, Jim, you know, you really need to hit it on this side of the fairway because it's going to come down, or you need to hit it on this side of the green. I like that kind of interaction. And, you know, he's a nice guy, and, a great golfer and a great friend. And I'll be writing more about it, but, he's meant a lot to me the last few years.
Cool. Well, I hope we get that chance. I wanted to mention before we leave Scotland, and we still have to get the Sweetens, Darren. So, but this 2022 Scottish calendar that I talk about, it's really great. And what's wonderful about it is, as you were talking about, it's not the courses that everybody's used to when they see a Scottish calendar. Not that there's anything wrong with beautiful pictures of the big name courses, but every month is a place like Dunaverty, like Shiskin, like Brora, Goldsby, Gerlach, Bute, the Isle of Collins, Panmure, North Berwick, Corrie. All those pictures are really from your heart. You can tell just by the picture how you feel about the place you were because of the way they were taken. And I want to let people know, as I said, for the holidays, yes, great, absolutely. Just go to jhartzellgolf.com. You can find how to get hold of them. But all year during 2022, not only because of the actual calendar, but Jim, it goes for a great cause, Youth on Course, in honor of your son, Jordan. So if you want to tell us a little bit about that, great. I just want to make sure people know that they can go and buy the calendar, and it's for a great, great cause.
Yeah, I did. You know, my youngest son passed away tragically in May, and he was a golfer and a great golfer, and you know, played college golf, and he was 21. And it's been terrible, and that's part of the reason I went on that trip and stayed with Robbie. But I wanted to do something. I had so much. One of the things on that trip that I was amazed by is I just decided I was going to, every day I was going to post something on Twitter or Instagram about what I did that day, and people just seemed to love it. And I, you know, and I think it was because a lot of people were happy that somebody was able to get out and do something, you know, with COVID and, you know, but I just had so many comments about it, and I had so many good pictures. I took 2,800 and something pictures, and I was there for 31 days. And wow. I took probably, I don't even know what that comes out to, but I took a lot. And, you know, I was by myself a lot, and a lot of these courses I was the only person out there. So, you know, if I got to a spot, Mitch, and I thought, I want to sit here for 10 or 15 minutes, I'd just sit down and, you know, or take pictures, or I wasn't in any hurry. I was just kind of doing what I wanted to do. And so when I got home, and started looking through these photos, I just had so many that were just great. And I thought, you know, people seem to enjoy that trip on Twitter so much. I want to do something for Youth on Course. When Jordan died, I called actually Tron Carter, or he called me when he heard what happened. And I said, look, Tron, I can't talk much, but I just, do you know, is there a charity that I can tell people to donate to, a good golf charity? I said, I don't like flowers. I think flowers are a waste of money. And immediately said, Youth on Course is the best one. He said, that's what you need to do. So in Jordan's obituary, I put, you know, please donate to Youth on Course. And they're a great charity that does a lot, everything to help young kids get into the game and kids that may not have a chance to be able to play. It's just everything they do is good for golf. And so there wound up being several thousand dollars that got donated through that, which I was happy about. And it sort of gave me something to do. And I thought, well, when I do this, you know, I have all this writing I'm doing, but I want to do something to, you know, I wanted to do something with these pictures, but I also wanted to do something to raise a little money. So I did this calendar, and honestly, I didn't know how people would react. And I printed a certain amount, and quite frankly, I've only got about 10 left now. They're almost gone. And people have just, in fact, I posted the other day that I really was sort of saying thanks for everybody for buying them, because they're, you know, I thought I'd kind of had to run the course, and then I had another round of people contact me. So yes, those pictures are some that, like the one of Goldsby, that's the 16th hole at Goldsby. I was just blown away when I got home and looked at that picture. Sometimes you don't, when you're doing all that, you don't, until you have time to sort of sit there and go back and look at it. I was just lucky. Some of the spots I was in, I remember I was sitting on the pit hole at North Berwick after we'd finished it. I was just sitting there, and this man is walking down the fairway with his dog, and then there's a couple walking on the beach. Like, you couldn't make this stuff up if you tried to. So I just, yeah, you know, I just had these pictures. And so thank you for mentioning that. And I, you know, people have been great to buy it. And, you know, I probably will do it again next year, because I've got so many pictures. But, you know, I'm going to be able to give them a nice donation. And I do encourage people, if you are looking for a golf charity, these guys are great. And all the money that you send them goes to, I think 95% of it goes to the kids that they're helping. So, yeah, I appreciate that. And it's been fun doing it. I like that. It's also another way for me to meet people. I've sent so many of these things to Scotland and England. I've had people message me, and, you know, I don't know. I enjoy that too. So thank you for mentioning it.
So great. You're more than welcome. Darren, you want to move to Sweetens? I think we need to spend a little bit of time on Sweetens, don't you?
Yeah, I want to know, you know, obviously you have a love for this gym, and we do as well, for Sweetens Cove. Just tell me a little bit about how the idea to, you know, write this book and the idea of it being the secret home of golf, which I think is something that's been cultivated now over the years. And as we mentioned earlier, as the place gets more and more popular, it's becoming a lot less of a secret. But it is a very unique place within the world of golf, especially here in the States.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I sort of talk about it in the book and in the introduction, or the first part, you know, the journey to get somewhere is kind of half the fun. And, you know, I was tying it back to that first time I went down to Macrahanish. You know, you sort of taking these back roads, and then all of a sudden you come upon this place. And, you know, that's sort of how I felt about Sweetens. And, when I found it, I'd taken all these trips to Scotland, and I played a lot of golf, but I'd kind of gotten disillusioned, and, you know, with all these 6-hour rounds and, you know, just $100 and $250 tee times and stuff. And so when I did find it, it just sort of reminded me of playing it. You guys have been there. It's not like being in Scotland, but the feel of it, the how you feel when you're out there, it just reminded me of that feeling. You kind of come up on this place on this winding road, and all of a sudden it's there out before you. And I just, like a lot of people, I just immediately got hooked on it, and I started going every weekend. And if I could leave work early, I'd go during the week, and I just got obsessed with it. And it got me back into playing a lot of golf in the U.S. again. And I got to be friends with Rob, and I sort of started to hear the story. And when I first started going, it was still in the phase where it was really struggling to even make it. And I'd go out there, and Jake would go with me, or Jordan, or all three of my boys would go, and we'd play golf all day, and just talk about it all the way home, just like the shots we hit. And so I just got fascinated with it, and it reminded me of what golf was supposed to be like. And as I got to be friends with Rob, I met him maybe the third or fourth time I was out there. We were coming to the fifth tee, and he was just standing there. And if y'all have ever met Rob or seen him, he's about 6'6". He's a giant guy. And he introduced himself, and he wound up playing, 9 or 10 holes with us. And we just immediately hit it off. We had similar interest, and he has a art history degree from Sewanee. And he just is a very well-read guy, and kind of guy you love to talk to. And I don't know, I just, as it started to develop, I just became more and more fascinated with it, and how it came about and how it was even there. And then when Rob was, I played in a tournament up there in 2018, in the fall, and it was sort of the first really big tournament they had there. And I met a bunch of people through that I'm still friends with today. That's where I met the No Laying Up guys. I met Tron and Solly there, and some other people, Kevin Moore and Jay Ravel, people that I've gotten to be friends with. And Rob gave this speech at the end of the tournament, after they'd given out the trophies and whatnot. They called on Rob to say something. And he just was in tears, basically saying, "I can't believe that you guys are here, that we've actually made it, that we're not going to go out of business." It just, the whole thing, I thought, well, there's something here that's got to be told. And I went back to work, and I thought about it for about 2 weeks. And I called Rob. I was at work at lunch one day, and I said, "Hey, man, I've got a really crazy idea." And he said, "I love crazy ideas. Hit me with it." And I said, I want to write a book about Sweetens Cove and about what you've gone through for this place to exist. And he sat there for a second and he said, "Hell yeah, let's do it." And I had never written a book. I'd written a lot for, No Laying Up and my blog and stuff. But this was something different. And I didn't even really know where to start. I just sort of made an outline, and I went and sat down with Rob for a whole day to start with. And I don't know, we wound up doing that many times. And that's just how it, it took me 2 years to write it. I wish I could have gone faster, but I had to interview so many people, and I wanted to spend the time to get everything together. And then Jordan's passing kind of was right when I was trying to finish. And I have to admit, my editor, Jim Sitar, was great. I couldn't have finished it or gotten it done without him helping me during that time. And, the story is just, it's almost unbelievable. And then the way it turned out, where, they found these investors that, have helped stabilize everything. And now you can't get a tee time hardly, they sell out in 45 minutes. And, I'm going up there Friday. I love it. I just think it's the closest thing, at least to me, that we have in the U.S. to that sort of feeling of playing at Denaverty or, you know, these places we've been talking about, Gerlach or wherever, what have you. It's just, and they've done a good job to keep the, you know, to keep it the same feeling that, you know, and it's not going to be like 2016 where you play all day and see two people. But, you know, as I said earlier, golf can't a golf course has to make money to survive. So, but they've done a good job of keeping the feeling. They've limited the number of tee times per day. Basically, you get a day pass and you're out there all day, or you play 18 or you do whatever you want. But so, yeah, it's meant a lot to my life, and Rob's meant a lot to me. We talk a lot, and his career is really taken off now. And so, yeah, it's the whole thing's been great. And the book, I get messages from people. I got one last night from somebody, a guy, or actually a couple nights ago. His house had got hit by the tornadoes in Kentucky, and he lost everything. And he said, and I don't even know why he was he must be in shock to message me. But he said, look, I just finished reading your book. I loved it. It's one of my favorite books I've ever read. And he mentioned his house, and he said, is there any way you could send me another one? And I said, of course I will. And I thought, well, why, of all the things, you know, that you would, but I just thought, well, he's probably so upset right now. He doesn't even know. And he's just looking for something to take his mind off of the stuff. And, but I get these messages from people that have read it, and that's been the, you know, it's been kind of word of mouth, and our marketing for it has been social media and doing podcasts. You guys have been like this, and, you know, that's how we've gotten the word out. And it's picking up steam, and it's done pretty well. And I'm proud of how it turned out.
Well, I think the key to the story you just told is that people are always drawn to something that comforts them and gives them insights and something they can hold on to. The guy in Kentucky clearly needs that right now. But the fact that your book is something he singles out, that's a pretty great thing too. And for somebody like you, who was so influenced on the path that your life has taken by somebody like Michael Bamberger and To the Links Land, I mentioned it earlier. To me, it was one of the great first golf books I ever read. And I think, you know, the journey you've been on and where you are now and your ability to put your thoughts and your feelings in words for us all is a great continuation for the best writers we have. I don't know how else to put it. I think it's great.
That's very well said, Mitch, because I've said this a lot. That book did really change the course of my life. I mean, when I read that book, my dad and I had just started talking about taking this trip, and I've told this story a couple of times, but Michael Bamberger worked for the Philadelphia Inquirer, and this was in the pre-internet days, or maybe the internet was just maybe starting, but it was not, people didn't even have email and stuff. I looked up the Inquirer, I called Directory of Assistance, and I called him and talked to him, and he couldn't have been 28, 29 years old, and I was a few years younger. And he talked to me for about 30, 45 minutes, I forget. I told him I was taking this trip, and he gave me some advice, and we talked about Macrahanish, and what's happened to me since then is really from reading that book. So I'm such a huge proponent of the literary side of golf, and, you know, Bernard Darwin and Pat Ward Thomas and Michael Bamberger, and I'll leave somebody out, you know, James Dodson and Mark Frost. I mean, I love that part of the game. I've got to say that I do not care for instructional books. I mean, I know there's people that love those and there's a place for them, but I like reading about history, and I like reading about the stories of people related to golf. And, you know, Stephen Proctor's become sort of a friend of mine now, and his book about young Tom is good. And that's the kind of stuff I like. But that's what I that's to get back to the Sweetens Cove book, that I wanted the book to be that, have that feel to it, but it still had to tell the technical part of this course getting built. So it was kind of a challenge to have a narrative that was exciting and interesting to people that sort of built as a story, but still had all this technical stuff that I enjoy as an architect. And I think a lot of people that play golf kind of like to hear about, you know, why a certain hole was built a certain way. So that was a challenge. And I, you know, that background of Bamberger and, you know, there's another guy, James Finnegan, that I read and wound up meeting and corresponding with when I was younger, that wrote.
How cool is that?
Oh, the guy was was incredible. Incredible.
I'm sitting here looking at his books on my bookshelf right now.
Oh, he's one of my favorite writers. And I'll tell this real quick because I get on a tangent about stories. But one of the trips that I had gone, it was in 2000. And you can't make this stuff up. My cousin went with me on this trip, and my dad went, and my uncle. It was kind of a father-son trip of that one. And we were in St. Andrews, and we'd been to Macrahanish, and we'd went out and played a course called the Mockery, which is about a 2-hour ferry ride from where Macrahanish is. And we loved it. We'd stayed out there a couple of days. It's where Bowmore and Ardbeg and there's several whiskey distilleries out there. Anyway, great place. And anyway, I had just that book, Finnegan's book, had just come out not long before that. The one about Scotland, Blasted Heaths and Blessed Greens. Mm-hmm. And we went out to eat in St. Andrews, and we were literally standing in this lobby. And I turned to my right, and Jim Finnegan was about a foot from me. Him and his wife. And I knew him from his picture because he was unmistakable. Those big glasses he had and everything. And I just immediately said, "Well, you're Jim Finnegan." And he goes, "Yeah, I am." And I said, "Well, I just came back from the Mockery." That's the first thing that popped into my head. And he just immediately wanted to know everything about it. And, you know, and I told him I was a member at Macrahanish, and we wound up talking until one of us had our table ready, and he wrote down his address on a piece of paper and gave it to me. And I wrote him a few times, and we corresponded a bit about different stuff. And I've been lucky to meet people like that, and people have been nice to me. So, you know, whenever I have a chance and somebody wants to talk about this stuff, I try to do the same. And I don't know. The guy was just a great writer, and he really, you know, he just became an expert on Scottish golf over the years. And I sort of honestly patterned myself a little bit after what he's done. I love his writing style. And anyway, I get on a tangent, but Bamberger and James Finnegan, you know, had a lot to do with how I've kind of lived my life, quite frankly.
Well, all of it is great, and it's such a great continuation of all those people in that writing, and we're thrilled. Secret Home of Golf is absolutely fantastic. Again, you can get it at Back 9 Press, the number 9 press.com. Go get it. Go get Jim's calendar. Go get Jim's calendar, although he said there's 10 left. You better hurry.
Yeah.
jhartzellgolf.com. You can find him at Jim H. Hartzell on Twitter, at Jim Hartzell on Instagram. Can't thank you enough for spending this time. It's really been, it's been a pleasure to get to know you a little bit more, and hopefully all of us can gather at Sweetens. I would think it would be wonderful. We'll get Chris over there, and Darren and I will go back, and you, and you can bring Jake, and we'll have ourselves a good old time.
I would love that. And it's been great to get to know you guys some, and through Twitter and now this, and you know, I'll have to, I'm sure I'll hear from Robbie now that he's got to add a room onto his house today. since I've added
that. He will. And you know what? I don't think he'll mind.
No, he probably wouldn't. He loves people, and he loves golf, and he's just a fine gentleman. But yeah, look, you guys, thank you very much for doing this. And it helps the book. And like I said, we don't have a big national marketing budget, and quite honestly have a hard time getting national publications to pay attention to it. So I do appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Well, Jim, we thank you. And at the end of every show, we have to thank the listeners. Couldn't do it without them either. Everything Mitch has said about going and following Jim, everyone should do. Follow us as well, Golf Trip Experts on the social medias. Go to golftripx.com. Just help us spread the word about the great stuff in golf travel, a lot of which we've talked about today.
And keep your eyes and ears open for Golf News Net and iHeartRadio. We'll be posting a lot of stuff in the next couple of weeks as we roll into 2022 and our iHeartRadio golf channel through Golf News Net. Thanks again for being with us. Thanks again to Jim. Jim had a dream of going to Scotland, of playing its great courses, of sharing his love and experiences with others. We hope you have big dreams too. Go run them down. Thanks for joining us. Have a wonderful, peaceful, safe holiday season and a dream-filled new year. So long.